Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, Sheep Dogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our weekly vigorous, relentless, and typically ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. My pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well Armed Radio, and just a free man here trying to stay afloat in the sea of communism. Encourage you to be part of the show by commenting in the chat, or you can also comment. I'll try to keep an eye on the MeWe page MeWe.com/P/WellArmedRadio, which is the new base of the WellArmed Radio audience listenership now that I'm enjoying my lifetime fascist book ban. Start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. And first 50 minutes of the show is open line, but we rarely get callers now. Kind of missed the good old days when we had more of a live listenership. That's partly my fault because I start the show so late now. But everybody's just, it's turned into more of a podcast than a live show. But, you know, we still broadcast live just for the hope that maybe someday we'll evolve back and have more of a live listenership. But if you're listening now, chances are you're listening to the podcast. So thank you for tuning in. And always feel free to shoot me a message because I like to hear from people. Know who's listening to the show. You know, I know who some of the regular listeners are. But if you've popped into the show for the first time, saw it through Blog Talk, came across Well Armed Radio on MeWe and thought you might pop in, shoot me a message. My email is nik@wisconsincarry.org. Again, that's nik@wisconsincarry.org. And got a lot to go through tonight. I was going to talk about, ways to interact with the show. You can chat in the, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio Live, you can use the chat function. You can comment on the show episode post on the WellArmed Radio MeWe page. Or you can call the show 563-999-3787. We'll get you through to the WellArmed Radio studio, 563-999-3787. So lots to talk about. I shouldn't say lots to talk about tonight. Some to talk about tonight. talk about Black Rifle Coffee Company. Talk about Buck Sexton and Clay Travis throwing some more shade on Trump. And talk about Simone Biles and her Olympics non-performance, her Olympics dropout. But, start off, I'm kind of curious, the Olympics, Simone Biles, that's going to be my third subject of the night, but, I love the Olympics. Last year with COVID and all the bullshit, Corona-noia going along with it, there was so many things that just would have been a great summer. I had just ordered a new yacht. And that's always fun to get a new boat. That was supposed to come in Memorial Day. It came in about a month late. So, we were supposed to have the Olympics last summer. We were supposed to have the Ryder Cup here in Milwaukee. The Democratic National Committee was going to be here in Milwaukee, the DNC, which, again, I don't feel so bad about that getting squelched due to COVID, but it would have been an exciting time here to live in Milwaukee, to live in Southeast Wisconsin. But for me, I love the Olympics. I've always loved the Olympics. And I think it goes back to my childhood. When we were young, we weren't allowed to watch a lot of TV. My mom was pretty strict about what TV we watched, didn't watch sitcoms, pretty much anything with a laugh track weren't allowed to watch. So I remember when we were really young, I remember we were allowed to watch Little House on the Prairie. And I remember a few others, I don't remember if it was the name of the show, but the characters, BJ McKay. I don't know if that was the name of the show, but it was BJ McKay with his best friend Bear. It was about the trucker who had a little chimpanzee I think it was a chimpanzee as a companion. We were allowed to watch The Greatest American Hero. That was the show with, I don't think it was Gene Wilder. It wasn't Gene Wilder. I can't remember the name of the actor, but MacGyver, we could watch MacGyver. The A-Team, we could watch The A-Team. Trying to think if there was others that we were allowed to watch. Highway to Heaven, that was one that my mom let us watch. But I think we usually were allowed to watch an hour of TV a night. I might be misremembering, but I think that was it. I think it was about an hour a night that we were allowed to watch TV. And again, it was some of those shows that my mom let us watch. And I'm probably forgetting a couple. My brother listens to the podcast, and he's probably remembering a few shows now that we used to be able to watch. But I remember sometimes there was some mini series on the North and the South. My mom used to like to watch that. So then she would let us watch. And I think that one, she would let us watch a little bit more than usual. But again, typically I think it was 1 hour of TV a night we were allowed to watch. But when the Olympics came on, I'm going from memory, but it seems like I remember being able to watch more. And so it was for us, you know, family, we'd sit together. It was me, my brother, my sister, my mom, before she got remarried. We were living in an apartment. And I just remember sitting around the living room watching TV, just the four of us. And then, again, I think for about an hour. But when the Olympics came on, I might be wrong, but I feel like we could watch more. I feel like we were able to watch, 2 hours or something. I just remember being able to watch more TV than we used to when the Olympics were on. So I've always loved the Olympics. I like the competition. I love the sense of national pride. It's funny because now, the Olympics ratings are just tanking. And I don't know if that's a result of it's not as energized the atmosphere when there's no fans in the stadium. I think people are sick of the mask bullshit, and then you got the athletes sitting there on the podium with a mask over their face. You can't see their emotion. It just and I don't know if that's the reason. I don't know if the COVID stuff is the reason. Some people are saying the woke stuff is the reason. I don't know. I feel like, the NBA ratings were down. Even the finals were down by like half from last NBA finals, normal season, normal NBA finals from 2019. So I don't know if sports is just people are kind of sick and done with sports. The whole woke stuff. I mean, it's got to be part of it. It's certainly got to be part of it for the NBA, for the NFL, is the woke stuff. And maybe baseball as well. I don't know if baseball's ratings are down or not, but I know the NBA is. I know that NFL ratings were down. So the Olympics, I don't know if it's just the COVID-induced irritation, but COVID-induced, what's the word I'm looking for? COVID-induced turnoff, but the ratings for Olympics are way, 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 way down from what they used to be, and that's a bummer because again, I like the Olympics. And it just honestly, add to the list of things over the past year and a half that have just things that we used to love and embrace in this country. And that's what sucks. I mean, liberals really do ruin everything. They've ruined the conservatives, the things that we love. Conservatives, we tended to be, I think, higher than average sports fans. We tended to like competition and those kinds of things. And liberals have ruined that. The whole woke culture has ruined that. Sports is now, whether it's the NFL, and maybe we were under, and it's probably always been that way, but we are just under the impression that sports was more of a blue collar, more of a working man's entertainment, the NCAAs, sporting events from the Super Bowl and NFL games and baseball and even the NBA as well. But with all these things going woke and all the things that the commissioners of the leagues have done to just push, I mean, it's people are just, that's certainly part of the reason that, they've lost. I remember what year was it? I don't know if it was 2012 or something, but the NFL just thought that they could do no wrong. They were talking about adding more games to the season. It was just the amount of revenue they were getting for the TV contracts was just off the charts. And I remember when they were bidding out the broadcast rights for some of these things. And again, it might've been about 2012, 2013, when it was just, the growth in viewership in especially the NFL was just massive. I mean, it was the values of these franchises were going up so much, and that's all certainly changed direction. And it's a bummer to see, but it's like all the other things in this country that we used to be able as conservatives, and maybe we were under the false impression that these people were more like us than the woke lefties and the media elites. But, we've now realized they're not. It's just more big lefty, coasty, liberal, elitist bullshit. between everything that COVID's taken away, between everything that stolen elections have taken away, between everything that cancel culture's taken away, between everything, even the news. The news has always been biased, but it was at least inclusive. When I say inclusive, I haven't gotten a call from a TV station, and I don't even remember last time I got a call from a TV station. It might have been, it was prior to getting kicked off of Facebook, I believe. I did get a call once around in January. I got a call from an NBC affiliate in Madison, but that was only to set me up. That's the first time I've ever turned one down. They wanted to, in light of the potential for armed protests in Madison, I think it was after January 6th, but there was supposedly organized protests in Madison, and the people were going to be armed, and they wanted to talk to someone about the rules for carrying guns on the Capitol grounds. And I thought to myself, that's not why you guys want me on the show. You want me on the show on your news broadcast to scare the shit out of people that there's going to be, because they would have asked me, do you think there could be people armed in Madison? They were trying to promote an armed gathering in Madison for the purpose of having it get out of hand and be another excuse to, whether it would be pass gun control, whether it would be come down on and condemn conservatives, drive momentum to chip away at the Second Amendment with gun control and things like that. That's what, or just the simple fact that the media loves to scare people and create sensationalism. And they wanted to have the president of Wisconsin carry on there and ask him the question, do you think there'll be people armed at a Madison rally? And to which I would say, well, look, I've never been to a Madison rally that people weren't armed for on a conservative issue, whether it was the reopen the state rally, the end the lockdowns rallies that took place in the late spring of last year, 2020. Every time I've gone to Madison and there was some rally that was on the conservative side of things, even if it wasn't necessarily a gun issue rally, I'd always seen people armed there. It's just, it's a place for demonstration. So to answer that question, honestly, would have been like, yeah, I expect there'll be armed people. And then they could say, oh, the president of Wisconsin, Kerry, says there will be armed protesters. That's what they wanted. And so I just declined to do the interview. It was clear to me that they weren't interested. And anybody who was going to go to the Capitol would have already known what the gun laws were. Anybody who isn't a Second Amendment supporter would just have been, aghast at the fact that there's going to be, it was just to drive, to try to create a situation. And so, but since then I used to do a dozen. And there's been other things. There's been gun control proposals that have been proposed. There's been gun related issues. Even Kyle Rittenhouse, when the Kyle Rittenhouse situation came up, no one contacted me. I think the last time I really recall, it's hard to say. It was the Las Vegas shooting, but there's been many times since then. But yeah, who knows if I'm on, once I got booted off of Fascist Book, if the media, and I'm sure there's collusion there. I'm sure there's collusion and coordination between the media, the big media, corporate media. Haven't gotten a call since. Even when gun issues are in the news, gun control is in the news, gun control bills being proposed by Joe Biden, by whoever, not interested. But the media used to, even though they were biased as heck, they still tried to be inclusive. They called it balance. They would come and even though the stories, the angles were all slanted, example, someone gets robbed or murdered or assaulted on the streets of Milwaukee, they don't go to Jerry Bonavia, who was used to be the executive director of WAVE, and say, Jerry, here's a person that, was attacked and killed. Do you think that that's a person that could have saved their life had they been armed. I mean, you know, you're against concealed carry, and here's a person that, you know, would be alive if they'd have been able to conceal carry. They wouldn't put her to a pointed thing like that. But yet, when someone kills someone with a gun, and then you might sit there and say, well, Nick, why would they talk to Jerry Bonneville about that? She's anti-gun. When someone murders someone with a gun, they come to me and they talk and they want my opinion on it, which, you know, then I have to sit there and say, well, you know, I have to sort of play defense. And I would try to turn it around and play some offense, but they would, that's how the media does things. They pick stories that fit their angle where I have to grovel and be the bad guy and say, well, we're against gun control and we're against, and then when the nurse at Frederick Hospital gets murdered, they don't come to me and say, well, Nick, you know, they did, and they go looking for stories. They went looking for martial arts teachers so that women could protect themselves from situations like that. They did stories about the lighting in parking garages, that if they would increase the lighting and security cameras in parking garages, people would be safer going to their car. They did stories on the security Frederick Hospital that is supposed to be available to walk people to their cars on request. You know, they did stories on all these things. But the glaring one is, here's a woman who was on video being run down. She's leaving and she's being pursued, not, you know, necessarily at first. I think it was more of a conversational engagement. And then when she started getting a bit creeped out by the guy that ends up killing her, she starts running/hustling to her car, and he chases her down, throws her to the ground, stomps her. I forget how many times, but if it was 60 sometimes, I mean, it was just an incredible amount of times that he stomped her in the head till she was bleeding to death on the ground. And the sub-zero frozen concrete parking structure, her head froze to the ground in a pool of her own blood. When she was found alive several hours later, still clinging to life, her heart was still beating, she was barely alive. They couldn't get her off the parking garage because her head was frozen to the ground in a pool of her own blood. How jacked up is that? But did they come to me and they did stories about all the other angles and how women could protect themselves, and they could go get self-defense training from this person in town, and they could increase the lighting in the parking garage. But did they ever come to me and say, hey, Nick, would we, Wisconsin's a concealed carry state. You know, here's a situation where she might have been able to defend herself. You know, what do you have to say to people? How could people take advantage of Wisconsin's concealed carry law? Never came to me for a story like that. And I pitched it to them. I would email them, but they'll come to me after a mass shooting and want me to talk. So the only time they would contact me for stories is the ones where they would do it for balance. And again, but this is the good old days where there was still massive bias in selection bias, but at least we still had a voice at the table somewhat, even in the slanted stories for the media. You know, we don't even have that anymore. So the stolen elections, the media, I mean, just, I don't know. It's amazing how this country has fallen into the shitter in a year and a half. I mean, from where we were, Trump wasn't even that strong in the Second Amendment. He, you know, dissed after the Las Vegas shooting, and initially in Mandalay Bay, the country concert shooting. And initially he says, well, you know, he kind of had a strong stance, pro-gun stance. And then he starts caving and says, well, you know, if bump fire stocks and things. And there was, people saw pictures. I don't even know if we ever got a full accounting if it was bump stocks, because some of that stuff people thought that he had some modified weapons that were fully automatic weapons. And I don't even know if we've ever gotten a full accounting of that, but I know very experienced people who know guns well that saw the weapons, pictures of the weapons that were leaked to the press, and thought to themselves, hey, that's not a bump stock. That's a weapon that was either a fully automatic weapon or had been modified. But the whole push to ban gun stocks that Trump got behind, that was one of the things that people began to, and myself included. And then Trump coming and saying, well, you know, you should, red flag laws, you know, you should take the guns first and worry about due process second. I mean, that was, again, disappointing stuff from Trump. So there was things to be disappointed about in Trump, but by and large, the country was getting, I truly think he was making structural change to the swamp in D.C. And we had a booming economy, and we had full employment, and we had no inflation, and we had cheap gas and energy prices, and just all those things. And then, you know, the stock market doing well, corporate profits doing well, just everything, tax cuts, all the bonuses that were going around for people after tax cuts the companies were giving out, big bonuses. And again, none of that drove inflation because we had production. When you have money with production, then you have more money in the market, but in circulation, but you have more products for that money to purchase. There was productivity. Now we've got paying people not to work. Businesses can't produce. Businesses need to hire more people. They have a hard time getting the product out. There's more money chasing fewer goods, and that drives inflation. That's why we have the inflation we have. I mean, just it's almost hard. Well, it is heartbreaking to see how this country has fallen, to see how big tech and social media censorship. And I mean, we're in a post-constitutional, post-freedom America, and a year and a half from when we were in many ways on a good track here in America. I mean, think of what Trump could have done in four more years of routing out the corruption in government bureaucracies. I mean, it's just sad. It's really sad to see. But so we're whipping this back around to the Olympics. You know, I think that the Olympics just reflects that. It reflects the overall malaise that people aren't. It's hard to feel excited about America when we're being divided by our race and our sexual preference and our gender every single day by the media. And I don't think people feel that sense of esprit de corps. I don't think they feel that team spirit, that national pride, because to be honest, do you want to have national pride for, you know, I mean, NBC's the one, they're the anchors for the host, not the host, but they're the host network. And I don't, you know, have any affinity for, you know, and anybody from NBC makes me want to kind of puke, you know, whether it's the Today Show or whoever. So, I mean, it just, there's so, put any network in there, you know, CBS, ABC, NBC, but it's depressing. And I think that half the country is depressed with us, and it is just a general malaise, I think, has fallen over us as we come to grips with this post-constitutional America that we live in. It is depressing, and it would be great to see reason for hope. It would be great to see reason to believe that we're going to have free and fair elections, and that we can have, you know, right this get back to the track. Because I don't think, you know, George W. Bush didn't change the trajectory of the country. He just slowed down the creep to socialism. But I do really think Trump he had the brakes on, and he was getting the ship turned. Weak on the Second Amendment for sure, but he was getting the ship turned. He was routing out some corruption in government and exposing the, you know, putting America first, whether it was, you know, just all kinds of things where we, the people, were getting the shaft. So anyway, still like the Olympics, sad to see it becoming the afterthought that it is. And I don't know if we can ever get on a better track. I mean, I think to do that, we'd have to kind of get national pride back, and we're not going to get national pride back when we're being separated by the media at every opportunity they get, telling us how different we are, how everybody who has color in their skin is a victim, and everybody who's white is an oppressor. And, you know, that's not a way to, you know, drive national pride, patriotism, spirit. And that's their goal. They want to rout that out. They want you feeling isolated and alone and depressed and a ward of the state. And so anyway, nice to take the first half of the show there and be big Debbie Downer. But I mean, so yeah, Olympics, love watching them, but it's sad to see them circling the drain. Black Rifle Coffee Company, you know, when I say latest saga, I mean, it's a week or two old now, but Black Rifle Coffee Company is an interesting company. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I've seen interviews lately with the CEO, I believe, of Black Rifle Coffee Company, and he's talking about a number of things. I think the first time the Black Rifle Coffee Company really raised some eyebrows was after the Kyle Rittenhouse, after he made bail. And maybe someone, this is why I wish we had some live listeners here in the chat, because they could be, they'd be prompting me with some other instances perhaps. But I think after Kyle Rittenhouse made bail, and he had a Black Rifle Coffee Company t-shirt on, and there was a post of him with, I believe it was Ricky Schrader, the actor, and then I believe the other one was his attorney. I don't remember which attorney it was, but and there was a picture of him right after he had just made bail, and he was wearing a Black Rifle Coffee Company t-shirt. And I'm trying to remember the name of the attorney that was with him. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, but the attorney that was with him and made some comment about, I forget if he made a comment about a promo code for Black Rifle Coffee Company or something of that nature, but the CEO from Black Rifle Coffee Company comes out right away and distances himself from Kyle Rittenhouse and distances himself from the promo, and there was a big stir up about that. And it was a little hard to sort through exactly what happened there. And it's a little bit hard to sort through now. I mean, supposedly there was all kinds of quotes from Black Rifle Coffee Company CEO that were pulled out of context, supposedly from an interview with the New York Times. But I'm still not sure because, you know, I don't think there's a recording of the audio or of the interview in its entirety. So we can't be for sure. All we can go is by the interpret or by what was printed in the New York Times, how the CEO of Black Rifle Coffee Company was quoted and what he said subsequent to that. I mean, that, you know, he's said that it was taken out of context, and that's all we have. We don't have a video, so we've got the New York Times printed comments and people's memes and screen captures and I don't want to call them, maybe, I don't know if they were retweets, but people's spreading of those quotes around, along with so you kind of got what the New York Times printed, what the New York Times said, along with what the CEO is saying that he said. We don't know what was actually really said. So I'm kind of lukewarm on these guys. I'm not ready to throw them under the bus, but there's just enough smoke there to where I'm like, you know, I don't know if I – and again, here's the thing. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I have seen interviews. This is what gives me pause to think maybe these guys are a little bit more weaselly woke than – and tend to side with the people that are coming down and condemning them, because they say the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. First, he said they distanced himself from Kyle Rittenhouse and they didn't want a promo code being used with Kyle Rittenhouse's bail t-shirt wearing incident as a traffic driver. And when they interviewed the CEO about that, he said, you know, we just, it's a tragic situation. We don't really want to be profiting off of a tragedy. And I understand and somewhat agree with that. I mean, it's probably in bad taste. I mean, regardless of the fact that I believe Kyle Rittenhouse was justified in what he did, I think the video proves that. I think that, look, we in the self-defense world, look, when we have to take a life, I've never had to do it. I've talked to people who have concealed carry license holders who had to take someone else's life to defend theirs. They were found justified and never charged. But it's still not something to celebrate. It's still not something to profit off of it. You know, that would be like the first person. And you didn't even have to have a concealed carry license because it was his own bar. But the owner of the Kahansky's concert, Andy Kahansky, Kahansky's Concertina Beer Hall. He shot, this was after, I believe, Act 35 passed. But in your own bar, you would have been able to legally carry anyway. That was already precedent set by case law here in Wisconsin. But had he, after he, shoots and kills one of the armed robbers that came into his bar, if he had started printing t-shirts and saying, trying to think of a slogan off the top of my head, but Kahansky's Concertina Beer Hall, the perp stops here or something, you know what I mean? And just making money off of it. It would have been in poor taste. I mean, regardless of the fact that it was justified, a justified legal shooting, it is, you know, a life is tragic. Even a criminal life, it's still tragic. It's just, but it's still tragic. I know someone who had to use their gun in self-defense. Someone was trying to carjack them, put a 50 cal to their head. And this person was a concealed carry license holder who had a gun in their car. They were waiting outside of their work on the northwest side of Milwaukee. They pulled the gun from the actually, I think they had it in their sweatpants or something, but they pulled the gun from their waistband and shot the robber and, you know, literally blew his brains out all over the place. And I forget what they told me, what kind of ammo they were using, but, you know, it was a justified shooting, but it was something that they, you know, it very much affected this young man who had to take another person's life. And, so again, I understand that mentality, that sentiment that, look, we're not going to sit here and celebrate, Kyle Rittenhouse, because while I think Kyle Rittenhouse was justified, again, I don't mean celebrate Kyle Rittenhouse. We're not going to sit here and, run a promotional campaign around Kyle Rittenhouse. We're not going to sit here and monetize Kyle Rittenhouse for promotional purposes for Black Rifle Coffee Company. I get all that. On the other hand, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Don't forget that when Black Rifle Coffee Company originally went into business, they said that they were an alternative to, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty close, alternative to coffee houses that don't share your values. That was their hook. This was after Starbucks, some high-profile instances of Starbucks. You know, first they used to allow open carry if it was legal, and then Starbucks asked people not to open carry into their stores and said coffee houses aren't a place, guns don't belong in coffee houses, and it was a slap in the face to people who had very much supported Starbucks and their million dollar cups of coffee. So, so you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't, refer to the values of, you know, Starbucks and what is this guy, Howard, I forgot his last name, the CEO, Howard Schultz, was it, CEO of Starbucks? You know, you can't present yourself as an alternative to that anti-gun, not even politically correct, but that anti-gun insulting commentary that Howard Schultz, the CEO, again, I think it was Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks makes, and attract people to your brand with that, and then not, then try to distance yourself from the very sentiment when you market yourself as an alternative to the values of these lefties like the CEO of Starbucks, you're attracting people with the belief that they're supporting someone who thinks like them, who supports the Second Amendment, who supports, example, Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, that one is, I don't want to call it a no-brainer, but if you've seen the video and you support the Second Amendment, I agree that we shouldn't celebrate having to take someone's life, but we should certainly stand up and defend Kyle Rittenhouse and defend the Second Amendment in that context. And for Black Rifle Coffee Company to not want anything to do with Kyle Rittenhouse, what's the whole purpose of the Second Amendment if not self-defense? What's the purpose? And even the core purpose of the Second Amendment is a guard against tyranny. So you can't call yourself the Black Rifle Coffee Company and bust onto the scene several years back when they did, advertising on the Rush Limbaugh show, advertising on Sean Hannity, and promoting yourself the way you did as this alternative to coffee houses, and referencing the fact that Starbucks doesn't share, they didn't call them up by name, but Starbucks doesn't share your values, ergo inferring that we, Black Rifle Coffee Company, does. And then with situations where those values would be represented, completely turn a cold shoulder to. Now, again, I understand not wanting to monetize Kyle Rittenhouse's situation. But at that point, to say something like, We support the Second Amendment and the right to self-defense. You know, it's just something supportive of, even if it's not Kyle Rittenhouse, supportive of the notion of armed self-defense instead of just completely distancing yourself from the whole thing. That's where I think people really get rubbed the wrong way. This hedge, this equivocation by Black Rifle Coffee Company. Then again, I haven't seen the smoking gun where for sure, you know, here's the comments of the guy in context that he's dissing his customers and dissing the blue collar crowd that made his brand. But I'm on guard with these guys from Black Rifle Coffee Company. Here's the other thing. So I forget if it was, you know, Buck Sexton and Clay Travis, they're now doing the Rush Limbaugh show slot. And it seems like they're somewhat the I don't want to call them the organized replacements, but there's somewhat of a business relationship, it appears, some kind of a formal relationship between Clay Travis and Buck Sexton and the Rush Limbaugh at EIB Network, because they use Rush Limbaugh's theme song for their theme song. They use a lot of clips from Rush Limbaugh. So I think there's some kind of a business relationship there. But I tell you, I think Buck Sexton and Clay Travis are doing a terrible job. But with regard to Black Rifle Coffee Company, Buck Sexton and Clay Travis, I don't remember which one it was, but they had the CEO of Black Rifle Coffee Company. I think his name is Evan Hafer. They had Evan Hafer on for a segment. And then again, I forget if it was Clay Travis or if it was Buck Sexton, but they're like, you know, look, Evan, I've known you and, you know, I know your values and blah, blah, blah. And so he was basically vouching for this Evan Hafer from Black Rifle Coffee Company. And I thought to myself, well, that's pretty self-serving because, again, Black Rifle Coffee Company is a big sponsor, was a sponsor. I don't know if they were a sponsor of the Rush Limbaugh show. I think they were. I know they're a big sponsor of the Sean Hannity show. I've heard them advertise in Hannity. I've heard Hannity do like the promotional interviews with them. I'm pretty sure Black Rifle Coffee Company is a sponsor of some of Buck Sexton or Clay Travis's prior radio show endeavors, because they made reference to that during the interview. So for Buck Sexton and Clay Travis to have this guy on, Evan Hafer from Black Rifle Coffee Company, and kind of vouch for him, I'm not so sure I'm buying that one. Again, I'm not ready to throw Black Rifle Coffee Company under the bus and say that they're a bunch of woke lefties, but my eyebrows are raised. My suspicions are on guard with these guys for sure. But keep it on the Buck Sexton and Clay Travis angle. You know, I listened to I used to listen to the Rush Limbaugh show, and I hadn't for decades. I mean, here and there I'd catch it, you know, during the 2000, back when the George W. Bush Florida recount thing. I remember tuning into Rush Limbaugh some during that time. 2000 to 2004, I think I might have listened to the Rush Limbaugh show some at that time. Because the company I worked for, the owners were Republican / kind of conservative folks, and they didn't mind, and so I listened to that during the day, I believe. And then I stopped listening just because I didn't listen at work for about 10 years, because I went to work for another company downtown from 2004 to 2014, so I just never really had the opportunity to catch Rush Limbaugh. There might have been a few times where I listened online because there was some significant event that I wanted to hear his opinion on or something, or see what his take was and see if it was the same as mine. And it usually was. But then when I started working from home, when I started my own company, I started working from a home office. My engineers work from their home offices, and they're typically, you know, flying around the country doing inspections for clients of ours during the day. I employ structural engineers for my real job. So then I started listening. I used to have the radio on. I got sick of listening to the radio, you know, music station. So I would listen to WISN, and then it's Jay Weber in the morning who gives way to, well, this has all changed. It used to be, I think it was Jay Weber, then Vicki McKenna, and then then Rush came on. And then it was Jay Weber, then Dan O'Donnell, and then Rush came on. And so now it's Jay Weber, Dan O'Donnell, and then Buck Sexton, Clay Travis. So I still have it on. I still hear them. You know, they've made comments that, I mean, I just don't think they're doing that great of a job filling in for Rush Limbaugh. I just don't. You know who I really liked was one of the fill-in hosts for Rush Limbaugh was, I'm going to forget his name. I'm going to forget his name. I think he was from Seattle. There was Ken Matthews, who was from, I believe, North Carolina. He wasn't my favorite. I wonder if I Google it quick, if I could find it. I thought he did a really good job. Oh, let's see if I can find one. Maybe it was Todd Herman. I think it was. I think it was Todd Herman. Todd Herman was probably the one who I liked the most of Rush's fill-in hosts. Didn't like the English accented guy. Now that's going to skip my name too. It's funny how quickly those things. It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There was an English accented guy who used to fill in for Rush Limbaugh quite a bit, and he's really good on the freedom side but it just that accent, it's like nails on a chalkboard. It just doesn't sound very American, and you know, and that's you know, not racist, but that's you know, that's what's the word when you xenophobic, is that it? Maybe that's a little xenophobic, but it just doesn't sound very American. Mark Stein, that's it, Mark Stein, who used to fill in. But this Buck Sexton and Clay Travis, they disappoint frequently. I mean, some of their takes, I like their take on the coronavirus. I like their take on masks. But I don't think they're that big of fans of Trump. And I think if there's something about these guys who, when you're in the media, they constantly feel the need to have to I think they have a hard time standing up to the fake mainstream media's angles pushing critical of Rush Limbaugh. This is not critical of Donald Trump, not Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh never did that. Rush Limbaugh never made excuses for Trump. Rush Limbaugh never felt like he had to apologize for things that Trump said. A lot of times he would put in full context what Trump said. A lot of times, but this myth, and I talked about it before on the show while on radio, that Trump was like, that he mean tweets. I don't think Trump mean tweets. I mean, that's a myth that the media puts out there. So for those, but this was something that then again, I forget if it was Buck Sexton or Clay Travis, but they said on their show, you know, for those who think that Trump brought a lot of this criticism on himself because he tweeted too much, like, I get it. Believe me, I do. I totally understand. I see where you're coming from. And this host on the Rush Limbaugh, that's Rush Limbaugh's replacement, he just went on and on and on. And I think it's time to say bullshit. We can't keep perpetuating. I see all kinds of conservatives that make comments about how, oh, but Trump mean tweeted and is, you know, I like Trump's policies, but not Trump's personality. It's like, well, what was wrong with Trump's personality? Was there really something wrong with Trump's personality? Do you not like someone that's a fighter? Do you not like someone that punches back? Because that's what we need. But I don't even think it's that. I think people that just watch too much mainstream news, the representation of what Trump said that wasn't what Trump actually said, but the representation of what Trump said created an impression in people's minds that Trump really said the things that the mainstream media said he said, which were either out of context or misrepresented or overstated or any number of other convoluted reports that led people to just, and then again, it's the big lie. You say it enough, oh, Trump mean tweets, Trump tweet storm, Trump this, Trump that. When you repeat the same thing so many times, people start to accept it as reality. And even conservatives, I think. So here you got Buck Sexton, Clay Travis. Instead of going on the radio and saying, well, for those who think Trump brought it on himself and he tweeted too much and he said mean things, look, this is them, the host, saying, I get it. Believe me, I do. I mean, you're validating people's, my opinion, this is Nick Clark's opinion, they're validating people's misperceptions about Trump said because the media created these misperceptions about things that Trump said. And we can't keep perpetuating these myths. So I say to people, like even a conservative guy on Facebook, on MeWe, he said, well, you know, if Trump would close his Twitter account and this and that, he'd be better. Trump shouldn't close his Twitter account. His Twitter account was how he would talk directly to people and not have the mainstream. If people would turn off the mainstream medias who keep misrepresenting and twisting and falsifying things that Trump said, then people would be better off. But I say to people, tell me what Trump has tweeted that was so mean. Tell me, quote, cite for me one of these mean tweets from Trump. Not what the media said Trump said, but what Trump actually said. I mean, shit, every anchor on CNN has probably tweeted far more offensive stuff than Trump ever did. Celebrities wishing Donald Trump dead, wishing, you know, hoping someone assassinates him. I mean, elected Democrats in D.C. that just tweet nasty shit, like that Omar, whatever. I mean, just some of these Democrats that just tweet some nasty, vile stuff. So to you conservatives, don't sit here and buy into it. And Buck Sexton and Clay Travis, of all people, shame on you for perpetuating the notion, the myth that, oh, Trump, and for validating people's, you know, little ninny proclivities to be offended by supposedly Trump's mean tweeting. Trump didn't mean tweet. If you're going to say he did, prove it, cite it, quote it. I'd like to see it. And then I'm going to compare that. If you really cite something that you're going to call a mean tweet, I don't think you can, because I really don't think he mean tweeted and said mean things. I mean, if he made a comment about some actresses who criticized him, her career, and they're like, well, you know, she's over the hill anyway. I mean, that's tame. And if people think, oh, it's unpresidential. We need a president who fights back against the mainstream media, slaps back, because anything less is ineffective. So, I mean, Jesus, stop with the friendly fire from these conservatives. And don't be the ones perpetuating this myth about Trump and Buck Sexton and Clay Travis, of all people, you know, filling in for Rush Limbaugh, because Rush Limbaugh would be turning over to his grave to see these guys saying, look, for those who think Trump brought it on himself because he tweeted too much and he says nasty things and his personality, look, I get it. Believe me, I do. I totally understand. I see where you're coming from. And again, just goes on and on and on validating all that stuff, which I don't think it is validated. Simone Biles, my last topic. You know, I was going to do some off. Actually, here's the thing. I think I only had an hour for the live show, but I have no live listeners in here, at least not in the chat tonight. If there's live listeners, I don't know that you're in because you're not logged into the chat. So I can go a little bit overtime here. I was going to save this to end the show because I took a yacht trip this weekend, and you guys hear me talking about boating and yachting a lot on the show and in my introductory remarks, which sometimes go on for a good long period of time. But I didn't want to start the show with those because I don't want to bore people, and it is off topic, and so I saved it for the end. But I want to tell you about a yacht trip I took this weekend up to Door County with my yacht, first time we did it. So I'm going to do my last topic here, Simone Biles, and then my live feed's going to end in 5 minutes. But the podcast feed I can just keep going with, and it'll still capture it, even though, and again, I don't think I have any live listeners tonight, so this will all just go straight to the podcast. And I'll have time. I'm not limited to my 5 minutes and 23 seconds. When I have live listeners, I feel really bad if after the show ends, I keep going, which the podcast listeners will hear, but the live listeners get cut off from, because then they'd have to either wait till I finish the whole show, which might be 20 minutes later, and then then go and start, and catch the last, you know, as soon, because the show, there's like that purgatory period, that's a bad term, there's like that never never land period that void between when the live feed ends and I actually end the show. The show doesn't go to podcast. If they're one and the same, if the live feed's going to end in 4 minutes and 30 seconds here, and if I end the show, then it'll be on podcast in about 5 minutes. It takes about maybe 30 seconds to the whole thing's on podcast. But if I go on after the show ends, the live show ends, it won't go to podcast until, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm on the show, I can't do it. I get off the show and then I go check it. But the whole thing doesn't go to podcast until I finish the whole broadcast. So if I talk for a half hour after the live feed ends, you can't go, I don't believe you can go catch the, and I could be wrong, but I don't think you can go catch the, you certainly can't, well, I shouldn't be so sure. I don't think you can do anything, hear the podcast until I end the live show, and then the whole thing goes to podcast. So that's the reason why I feel bad running a segment over into the podcast portion when there was live listeners, because it's not a simple fact of them waiting a minute and then catching it. They have to wait a half hour, 50 minutes or whatever, or catch it the next day. It's just a pain in the ass for them. So but anyway, I don't think I have any live listeners tonight. So Simone Biles, you know, surprising, shocking. I mean, she was this superstar gymnast, previous gold medals, previous Olympics, and then winning every, you know, world championship in between, greatest of all time was getting thrown around about her. And then we find out that she withdraws from competition citing mental health reasons. So a couple thoughts here. And this is a big thing last week, this week not so much. But first thing I would say is, look, I feel compassion for Simone Biles. I really do. You don't drop out of the Olympics because you want to. I mean, so clearly she's struggling with something emotionally. The second thing I'll say is I think that some of the comparisons and some of the criticisms that are being lobbed her way aren't really valid. One of them was from the Buck Sexton Clay Travis show. And again, I forget which host said it, cause I don't recognize, I couldn't pick out one or the other by voice. Now I've conflated the two together. So when one's talking, I'm like, wait, is that Clay or is that Buck? I don't know. So one of them said something like, you know, Simone Biles, you know, Tom Brady wouldn't walk out of the Super Bowl at halftime. Michael Jordan wouldn't have, decided not to play game 7. I think they even used the Brett Favre comparison. You know, Brett Favre came out the day after his dad died and played a football game. And that's all, those are all true statements. But what I would say is, I don't know if those are accurate comparisons, because when Tom Brady can't focus and maybe he has an off game, maybe he misses some passes, maybe he gets sacked, maybe he throws some interceptions. That's what happens when if Tom Brady is distracted and having an off day mentally, you know, he's not injured, but he's got an off day mentally, can't focus, isn't on his game, you know, isn't sharp. Again, misses passes, gets sacked, throws interceptions, pick sixes. You know, Simone Biles, if she can't focus and she screws up a vault and she lands on her neck, I mean, she's paralyzed. I mean, the inverted aerial stuff and the twists and the flips and that these girls do, I mean, all these gymnasts do, the dudes too. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, that's why it's fun to watch, because some of the things that these gymnasts do, vaulting, the floor routines, even the balance beam, the mounts and dismounts and the inverted flips that they do. Look, anytime you're getting inverted, you're putting your head and your neck as the first thing that hits the ground. That's dangerous. I mean, you can injure yourself severely in those situations. So I get it. Like if Simone Biles, if she can't focus, she's can't sleep, she's got anxiety, she's got, you know, stuff going on, she's got the pressure, if you can't focus, you lose your ability to execute in this sport of gymnastics at this level. I do think it's dangerous. So I get that. So her, and I think she made a comment to one of her teammates that she couldn't focus and she was worried about injuring herself. And when you look at some of the stuff, I mean, I would put that in the classification with like some of these high divers at the Olympics. When you're diving off of the, oops, now I'm going to step on my foot, or have to put my foot. I don't know if it's like the 5 meter or 3 meter, but like the high dive platform, not the super, super high dive. Like I remember, you know, going to Great America and seeing people dive from like, you know, a couple hundred feet up or whatever, but that I'm just talking about the high platform. I don't know if it's 5 meters or 10 meters or whatever it is, but you know, you're doing flips and twists and, you know, you land half rotated, even on a pool, you could really hurt yourself. So same thing here. I mean, you know, these gymnasts, they've sometimes got a spotter standing when they're doing some of their mounts and dismounts and releases on the parallel bars, uneven bars. But those spotters couldn't be in a position to stop them from injuring themselves. So for that reason, I understand it's not an apt comparison to say, well, Brady would have played through, you know, Brett Favre played through pain and played through injuries and all that stuff. If Simone Biles is really that distracted, off her game mentally, can't focus, she is doing some dangerous stuff and she could hurt herself. She could paralyze herself. And that is not worth it. It's not worth it for a gold medal. It's not worth being paralyzed for an Olympics medal. And it's so that is what it is. Now, all the reasons, like how much the pressure that I saw today at a commercial from Nike, the pressure that athletes feel. We need to be understanding of the pressure that athletes feel. Let me tell you something. These athletes, whether they're pro athletes or gymnasts, they have every need that they have met. Is there pressure to perform? Sure. But you've got trainers, you've got medical staff, you've got coaches, you've got schedulers, they have it. You've got nutritionists, dietitians, physical therapists. You've got everything. Everything. Look, try being a bodybuilder like I am. And especially, I mean, I still train hard, not quite as hard as I used to, but I don't have trainers. I have to go pay for a massage. I mean, I have to go to make an appointment and schedule with physical therapists when I get hurt doing from all my lifting. These guys have them right at their beck and call. I have to cook my own food. These guys have nutritionists and others who would create their meal programs. And yes, they have to go train. Yes, they have to put in the work. Yes, they have to perform. But they've got a whole support staff to help them out. So this whole, Mary Lou Retton, do you not think that she felt pressure? Do you not think that, you know, name the gymnast, Carrie Strug, she had a broken ankle and she finishes a vault. I mean, that's courage. So Simone Biles quitting, is she a quitter? I mean, she might still do a couple individual events, I heard. But yeah, she quit. She let her team down. I mean, that's a fair criticism. Does she deserve criticism? I mean, if you felt compelled to criticize her, I mean, I really don't feel compelled to criticize her. But if you did feel compelled to criticize her, I mean, I think it's valid criticism for some of these things. But one thing that we should say is she's not the greatest of all time. She had Simone Biles had bedazzled on her. You couldn't do it at the Olympics because those uniforms are sanctioned and you know, contracted what the girls are going to wear, specially designed, the team uniforms and things. But when she was at the World Championships, she had her little gymnast leotard on and she had a goat bedazzled on the shoulder. You know, a bedazzle is like those little shiny, I don't even know what they're made of, shiny little, I don't know, bedazzles. But it's just a little, they're the sparkly things that you see on women's clothing. She had one bedazzled onto her outside of her arm. It had a goat, and goat is the acronym for greatest of all time. So I got to say, I'm sorry, but Simone Biles is, I don't think, is she still an amazing athlete? Sure. But I don't think that she deserves the title of greatest of all time anymore for gymnasts. She couldn't handle the pressure. She gets the goat bedazzled on her uniform at the World Championships, but here comes the biggest stage and she can't handle the pressure. I mean, I got it. I feel compassion for you, but you're not the goat, not the greatest of all time. Leave that to someone who had that same pressure and rose to the occasion, who didn't have to quit, who could stay mentally focused. And they say, oh, social media, it's so much more. Just look, then you have to learn to handle that. You have to learn. I mean, if you're, she's been a public figure for, I don't know, how many, is it 8 years or more? If you haven't learned, I mean, you've got trainers and nutritionists and physical therapists and personal assistants and, you know, all these coaches, coaching staff. You don't have someone that can advise you on dealing with the public side of it. I mean, it's something you just got to deal with. Does social media present more of a stress for you? I mean, who's to, before it was, the TV, people would say, well, Mary Lou Retton, and again, this is from the 80s, I believe, but, you know, she had to deal with the stress of the 24-hour news cycle. Maybe that came later. Maybe this whole CNN 24-hour news cycle didn't come until the 90s or something. But at every stage, there's been more media attention. At every Olympics, there's been more and more and more coverage. It's become a bigger and a bigger and a bigger production. More interviews, more media, more press to do for these athletes. I guarantee that Carrie Strug did far, far more television interviews than, say, Mary Lou Retton. You know, the morning after you win the gold medal now, then this is even back years ago, they got to go on the Today Show. They got to go on the whole circuit, a promotional circuit. That's different than it was in the 70s or the early 80s. There was some, but not the same level. So every athlete for every generation has had more to handle than the generation before them. But now we're going to cut Simone Biles. Oh, no, this social media stuff, it's so overwhelming. Well, so the massive press I should refresh my memory here, and I'm going to Google gold medal gymnast, gold medal female U.S. gymnasts. Okay, here we go. Olympics champions. I'm going back here. All right. No, they've got too many here. Carly Patterson, that was one. Mary Lou Retton, 1984. Nastia Lukin, she's from the U.S. Gabby Douglas. These are all United States female Olympic champ. You don't think each one of those in their respective years had more media pressure, more public pressure than the one from the Olympics before? They all did. It's all increased. And they all found a way to deal with it. Simone Biles didn't. You know, she's obviously, the pressure's gotten to her. I mean, I'm not going to trash her for it, but I will just say that to have to withdraw, not from an injury, I think that calls into question her greatest of all time status. And sorry if that offends people, but all right. Last thing I'm going to talk about here tonight, because my eyes are getting dry and the show's getting long here, but late broadcast today. I wanted to start at 9:30 and I didn't get started until 10. Finally got to take my boat to Door County. just quite the experience. Couldn't have predicted what it, you know, we've been taking the family up to Door County since 2012. I think it was the first time we went up. Used to trailer my old boat up there, had a great time, you know, trailer up. First time we went to Sturgeon Bay, stayed in Sturgeon Bay, dropped the boat in the water, cruised up to Nicolet Bay at Peninsula State Park, had an amazing time. I thought, man, this is the most fun boating we've ever done. It's just amazing. And most awesome place to boat. Maybe it was 2013. Did we go? Anyway, we started going up there year after year after year, really having a good time, having a blast. Some years the weather was better than others. Some years the forecast was bad, so we didn't take the boat. Some years the forecast was bad. We did take the boat and didn't get to take it out because it rained and poured. So it's just, but Door County's been like, that's our family. Like some families, they maybe had a tradition of going to Disney or something. But for our family, myself, my fiance, Kim, her three kids, two girls and one boy, Door County was our spot. I mean, from 2012 every year until and including this year, we've gone up there. When I sold my own boat, traded in for the yacht, this was the first year where I didn't reserve like a VRBO or a hotel or something up there. We're just going to go up and stay on the yacht. I thought that was cool because it used to be I'd have to reserve a VRBO 6 months in advance. And how do you know if that weekend turns out good weather? You don't know. You're rolling the dice. You know, I would reserve January 1st, I'd reserve a VRBO because they're all reserved up by the time you get to May or June. So you got to reserve early in the year. So just pick a weekend. That's our vacation weekend because 4-day weekends all we have time to go for. And so I thought the cool thing about the yacht is that, well, we can just, if we're going to take the yacht and stay on the yacht, then we can go up anytime. We can just watch the weather. And if the weather turns out good, boom, jump in the boat and go for the 4-day weekend, take the boat up. A bit naive. I'm learning a lot of new things as we get into the yachting world versus the trailer boat world. And my friend of mine who's an executive with the Skipper Buds dealership, which is a nationwide network of dealers, as he told me, you know, Nick, when you have a trailer boat and you boat inland, you decide when you want to go boating. When you have a yacht and you boat on Lake Michigan decides when you're going to go boating. And man, that couldn't be more true. We had a trip to Saugatuck. You guys have heard me talk about that show planned. First time crossing Lake Michigan. I've always wanted to do that. Had to cancel that because it rained that weekend. Then we had a trip to Door County planned over the 4th of July. We left the Thursday before the 4th, trying to beat some high waves. And we ended up having to turn back. Just got a couple miles out of the harbor in Milwaukee, and it was just too rough. There was no way we could have made it up there that day. It was just terrible. Super disappointing, big bummer. We had planned and we're looking forward to that. And so then we ended up, did a couple of small trips, one to Port Washington, really rough ride up. And so it's been an experience to learn how some days out there, Lake Michigan is just amazing. It's peaceful. You can pick your speed and go. It's comfortable. It's relaxing. And other days it's just hell out there. I mean, it's the waves and the, I mean, it's terrible. I mean, there's nothing fun about it. It's stressful. It's dangerous. It's uncomfortable. And sometimes that one day it's one and then the next day, and sometimes it's the same day. I mean, so this has been quite the experience of yachting on Lake Michigan. So anyway, this weekend we finally got up to Door County with the yacht. We left on Thursday, ended up leaving earlier than we wanted. We were going to leave Thursday late, ended up leaving earlier Thursday because it looked like by Thursday night, the waves were supposed to pick up. So we wanted to beat it. We wanted to get up there with calm seas so we can have a nice relaxing ride up. Left Milwaukee. It wasn't too bad leaving Milwaukee. We were able to kind of pick our speed, got up to, it was pretty, not bad to, about Sheboygan. I think I was probably doing about 40, you know, my boat tops out at 65, but you don't want to run that fast. I mean, you're beating the hell out of the engines and then you're running at full throttle. You're blowing through gas. I mean, I go through, at wide open throttle. I mean, gosh, probably about At wide open throttle, I probably go through about a gallon, maybe a gallon and a half per engine per minute. So per engine, I mean, I'm probably going through about 5 gallons a minute, maybe six. I'd have to, but at wide open throttle, that's what I'm going through, about 6 gallons a minute, because I have three engines and each engine's burning, over a gallon a minute at wide open throttle. But you back it off to a more comfortable cruising speed, a more efficient cruising speed, and then you're getting, double the fuel economy that you are at wide open throttle. So I think for me, 40 is about a pretty efficient cruising speed for the boat, for the yacht. So left Milwaukee, doing about 40 miles an hour to get up to, till we got to Sheboygan. Once we got past Sheboygan, started getting a little bit rough, just a little bit of banging on the boat. And I was like, oh man, don't do this to me. Cause Sheboygan, I mean, that's only 50 miles. We were going to stay in Manitowoc. That was another probably 25 miles from Sheboygan, 25. And then Friday morning, we were going to do the rest of the way from Manitowoc to Sturgeon Bay, gas up in Sturgeon Bay, and then head all the way to Fish Creek, dock at Fish Creek, where I had a slip reserved, go play golf at Lakeshore at Peninsula State Park, and then come back Friday night, chill. Saturday morning, I do a little cardio workout, and then our boating time up there in Door County is Saturday afternoons. We like to go to Nicolet Bay. It's just in a busy place, lots of boats anchored, big, huge yachts, some more medium-sized yachts like mine. But you get some big 70-footer, 70-foot yachts in there, 80-foot yachts in there, and just the super yachts, and mine's just a normal yacht. Great place to swim. You got the beach. You got the beach for the campground, Peninsula State Park campgrounds. There's always a bunch of people on the beach. It's just, there's people paddleboarding around and canoeing around. It's a cool place to hang out. The scenery is beautiful. You've got Horseshoe Island off in the distance. You've got the bluffs, Eagle Bluff, I believe it's called, from Peninsula State Park. It's a really cool setting, an amazing place to hang out. Well, so then we get up there, going up Friday, Thursday, get past Sheboygan, starts to get rough. We make it to Manitowoc. And then I'm like, what if it's even rougher tomorrow morning, Friday, then there's no way we make it to Peninsula State Park to make our tee time at the golf course. So I was like, should we just try to run up there all the way today? If the seas were calm, we were definitely going to go for it, go the whole way. But then I talked to my dealer and I said, hey, can you get me a slip at quarterdeck? So instead of, we'll just stay at Sturgeon Bay instead of stopping at Manitowoc for the night. So we got to Manitowoc. It was probably, 1 o'clock, maybe a little after when we pulled it. We left Milwaukee at about 11. So yeah, 2 hours to get to, yeah, that's probably about right. Probably about 2 hours to get from Milwaukee to Manitowoc. Maybe a tick more. And then we want to go the rest of the way on Friday morning. But I said, look, what do you guys want to do? Do you want to stop here at Manitowoc for the day? We've got a slip reserved here. Or do you want to just go for it and get all the way to Sturgeon Bay tonight? Then we've only got a short distance to go on Friday. And they said, well, let's just go for it. And my daughter's like, let's just keep going. And of course, it was easy for her to say that. She didn't have to drive and the stuff. So we headed back out, left Manitowoc. We were in the harbor. Manitowoc, we turned back around, headed back out and started going. It was rough. I mean, I had to back it down. I think north of Manitowoc, I could only do about 30 before it was just getting a little bit too rough, too much of a pounding. And you pass Kewaunee, then you pass Algoma. And then by the time we made the Sturgeon Bay Canal, which connects Lake Michigan to Green Bay through Sturgeon Bay, the waves were getting bad. I mean, there was small craft warnings out, and small craft is, there's no delineation for small craft, but I mean, really, like, honestly, anything under, I have a 38 foot cruisers Grand Luxury Sport, 2021, I see guys with 50 foot Sea Rays. I mean, that you take just as much of a pounding in a 50 foot boat. If you would think that like a 50 foot boat, you're going to do better in small. It's funny because I actually think my first boat, my 21 foot Sea Ray, I could take bigger seas in that because it was so small. You kind of come up on a wave, you go down the other side. You come up the next wave, you go down the other side. Then I got my 27 footer, which was only, you know, 6 feet longer, 6 or 7 feet longer. And then you're going up one side of the wave and you're so long that you kind of slap the next wave. Cause some of these waves aren't, you know, you don't have that up and down flexibility. So a bigger boat doesn't do better in bigger seas until you get really big. Like, you know, these 200, 300 foot long commercial craft. Yeah, they do great. And I mean, the 3, 4, 5 foot seas, but I'm telling you, and even in like a 50 foot yacht, like 3 foot seas, like that's a pounding. You're taking a pounding in 3 foot seas, 4 foot seas, forget it. 5 foot seas, forget it. You don't even want to be out in that stuff. I mean, it's so they were calling small craft warnings when we got to the Sturgeon Bay Canal just as we pull in. So it was kind of this massive sense of relief. Look, we made it to Sturgeon Bay. The forecast for Sunday coming back was supposed to be less than 1 foot wave. So that's just ideal. We get to quarterdeck, the beautiful facility that Skipper Buds has up there, get gas up. I tell you, that was something. We went through. So I'll save that for the end of my little story hour here. Stayed one night at quarterdeck, a little bit windy. Quarterdeck marina doesn't have a break wall. It's on a river. So when you get a north wind, you know, the Sturgeon Bay River or canal or whatever they want to call it, it's wide. So, I mean, you can get a little bit of chop going in there. So it wasn't exactly calm. It was just a little bit uncomfortable sitting in the boat all that time. And it was just that constant little bit of rocking. You know, it was fine. Nobody got like seasick or anything, but like when you get off the boat and like went into like the facilities, cause they've got shower facilities. I've got a shower in the app, but like nobody really showers in their own boat. They always use the shower facilities that are at the marina. It's just, you know, bigger. But Skipper Buds has like hotel quality shower suites at the marina at quarterdeck. So you go in, it's this big, huge, you know, 12 by 12 room. Got a shower stall in one portion, a bench in another. You got a sink, you got a toilet. It's private and it's getting very well. I mean, again, it's a hair dryer on the wall. It was hotel quality. And so, but then you go in there and I go to take a shower, you know, you close your eyes, take a shower, put your head under the thing and you're putting shampoo on your, and with your eyes closed, you kind of feel like you're moving. That's just the uncomfortableness of the nature of the constant movement when you're of the waves, even small waves when you're on the boat. So stay one night at quarterdeck, got up on beautiful morning there in Sturgeon Bay, decide we're going to cruise. We got to get the rest of the way up to Fish Creek. And that was a rough ride. I mean, getting up from Sturgeon Bay to Fish Creek, that's probably 25 miles. And that was really rough. I mean, so here we are thinking that as soon as we got to Sturgeon Bay, you know, it was easy sailing the rest of the way. Green Bay was really rough on Friday morning. So we got up to, we did make it to Fish Creek, pull into Fish Creek, get docked, chill, found a ride to the golf course, played golf, came back. I'm kind of chilling at the boat. My fiance and my daughter, they went to, one daughter came with us. They went to Wild Tomato to have some pizza for dinner. And they ended up, while they're at dinner, I go to join them. And I just happened to decide I'm going to look at my phone and just double check the wave forecast for Sunday when we're supposed to come back. This is Friday night. And we're looking forward to Saturday because Saturday is like the fun day up there. That's our party day. And I look at the forecast and all of a sudden I'm seeing that on Sunday, they're saying we're supposed to have three foot waves and 15 to 20 mile per hour winds on Lake Michigan, which I'm like, okay, that's not boatable. We've got to go all the way from Sturgeon Bay canal entry to Lake Michigan all the way down to Milwaukee. I mean, that's like, I think that's about 120 miles, something like that. And I'm like, there's no way we're going to make that with 3 foot waves. It's just, I'd have to go so slow. It'd be so uncomfortable. We'd be slapping waves. You'd be taking spray. There's just no way. So I looked for Saturday. Saturday was supposed to be 1 foot waves or less. So I said to my fiance on Friday night when we're just kind of settling into getting up, when we only been in Fish Creek for docked at the slip for, 8 hours. I'm like, I think we're going to have to leave tomorrow, Saturday. And it was a super bummer because Saturday is usually our big chill day up there, and Sunday was going to be a travel day coming back. And so we realized Friday night that we're going to have to ditch it and turn around and come back. It was just huge bummer, huge disappointment. But my fiance has to work at the hospital at 6 a.m. on Monday, and we didn't have a vehicle up there, so there was no other way to get back. We would have to call our daughter, another daughter, to come pick us up to drive all the way up to Sturgeon Bay, or excuse me, drive all the way up to, yeah, we're probably going to make sure, drive all the way up to Sturgeon Bay to pick her up and, two hours to get up there. So we ended up, we turned around Saturday morning. I did my little cardio workout, and we did to Nicolet Bay, which is where we would have hung out all afternoon, just did a little circle, and it was supposed to rain. It was supposed to rain up in Fish Creek. Supposedly, likely storms and thunderstorms on Saturday afternoon. So between that and the fact that it wasn't supposed to rain down in Milwaukee, and then Sunday was going to be impassable, we couldn't have made it down in the lake. Yeah, we left. We went up to Nicolet Bay, did a little, literally trolled around in a circle, didn't anchor the boat, didn't get out, didn't swim, and then went by Eagle Bluffs to take some pictures, then headed out and headed back down. It was a rough ride going down, really rough going down Green Bay to get from Eagle Harbor down to Sturgeon Bay to the canal. Went through, gassed up again at Skipper Bud's quarter deck, headed down the canal, hit Lake Michigan. It wasn't bad. I mean, we had some points got a little bit rough. You know, you realize these points, Manitowoc juts out into Lake Michigan a bit. Sheboygan juts out into Lake Michigan a bit. So it seems like around those points, like the waves just tend to pick up, must be the way the current flows or something. But we made pretty good time coming back between 40 and 45 miles an hour. We're seeing some rains that was coming in, some storms, thunderstorms, and we're getting chased. There was that hazy, smoky sky from the wildfire smoke. It was just a weird day Saturday, but we ran it all the way back. It was a long haul. It was a good run. We hugged the shore a little bit to try to stay out of some of the bigger, there was more just swells on Saturday, but for the weekend, it was like 300 miles, 300 nautical miles on a boat. That's a lot of miles on a boat. Especially when you're only cruising at either 30 or 40 miles an hour tops. $1,500 in gas is what I put in, but I left the boat almost empty. So if I fill it back up to where it was before we left, it was probably about a $1,700, $1,900 gas trip. So $1,900 in gas for the weekend. It's just, and I thought about it. And I don't know if we're going to take the yacht up to Door County again. It's such a long haul. I'm glad we did it. It was quite an adventure seeing the coast all the way up, but it's so far to go. And again, almost $2,000 in gas for the weekend. And it would have been more if we'd have done more running around when we were up there, but almost $2,000 in gas for the weekend for 4 days. It's just, we could have driven up there. You can drive up to Door County in 2.5 hours, but yet it takes you, four to, depending on the waves, four or more to get up there. So I'm glad we did it. I don't know if we'll take the yacht to Door County again. We'll certainly still be vacationing in Door County, but I don't know if we're going to be, if we do, I would want to take the yacht up there and then store it, use it for a weekend, store it up there, come back the next weekend, use it again, just to get more, make it more worthwhile. For all the expense of the gasket up there. Now, Michigan's a different story because, Michigan is only, 75 to 80 miles across. Still got to pick the good weather days, but that's only 2 hours instead of like the 4 hours to get all the way up to like Fish Creek, Sister Bay area. So 2 hours instead of four, half the cost in gas. And here's the thing. You can't get to Michigan, to saw an example, Saugatuck, Michigan, you can't get there in 2 hours driving, but on a boat you can. So it's quicker to take the boat over. So that's probably our next, place to really focus on if we're going to take some cruises with the yachts, is to go over there and have some fun with it that way. But anyway, just thought I might share that little, I did at the end so people didn't have to sit there and listen to me rambling about boating if they're not interested. So I did at the end of the show versus the beginning. But yeah, one hell of a weekend, one hell of an adventure. And then I made it back in time, slept in our own beds last night and went out and played golf today. So there you go. Anyway, that's the show for this week. I'm tired. My eyes are dry as heck right now. I got to go put some saline in. So I'm just doing my best to see through my dried out contacts as I find the exit music for the show. So thank you guys for tuning into the podcast. Again, shoot me an email, nik@wisconsincarry.org. If you got any comments, and you guys have a great week. Carry on. Be well armed.
Chick Julie, you've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.